Well, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And the verses that I'd like to bring before you this morning is verses 21 to 26. Verses 21 to 26. If you so desire a title for the sermon this morning, it's quite simply found in verse 21, which reads, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, Paul writes this letter in verse 1 to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. The Philippian church was the first church that Paul founded in Europe. The first convert there was a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple goods, where the Lord opened her heart and was being led by the Apostle Paul. What he was saying to her, the Lord opened her heart and she was born again. And then she was baptized with her household. From that time onwards, the church grew, and Paul and the people had much love and support with one another. But as Paul, who was writing this letter around AD 61 to AD 62, towards the end of his first Roman imprisonment, he writes not from a heated study, but from prison in Rome. Paul writes from a place where he is in chains, chained to a Roman guard under house arrest, but taking the opportunity while being in prison, he writes to the church at Philippi to encourage them in the faith. As Paul is in prison, he doesn't know the outcome of it, whether he would survive or whether he would be executed. Would Paul be delivered of his sufferings in prison, or would he die? As Paul reflects on this, he comes to a place in his heart, whatever the outcome, either way, Christ is his focus. Christian, here this morning, we face many times in our lives where we come to a kind of crossroads type of situation, where we don't know the outcome or which way we should go. But like Paul, whatever our lot is, whatever it may be, whatever the outcome, can we say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain"? Whatever the outcome, can we trust that Christ will be magnified either way? Well, let's look at our first heading this morning. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is a personal statement from the Apostle Paul, isn't it? It is personal. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul has just mentioned in verse 20 that it says, "So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." As Paul presented his body as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable God, which was his reasonable service, in whatever outcome would be for Paul, Christ would be exalted. He then goes on to say this wonderful truth that is in his heart. and should be in everybody's heart this day who knows Christ. He says, "For to me." This is personal for Paul, because it affects him. Paul's not talking about the guards that are near him. He's not talking about anyone else as such for the time being. No, this is Paul's personal statement. This is a reflection on how his heart is responding to his current situation. He goes on to say, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. From the moment that Paul was converted, his life changed. Saul became Paul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. But with one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, his life was changed in a moment. He was made a new man. He was given a new heart. He was given a new mind, a new will. He was a new man. So he had a new direction in his life. And that was to serve Jesus Christ, the one who has saved him from his sins. So for Paul's life in Christ, it started at his conversion. And his life was never the same again. So he can say to live is Christ. His whole life consisted of following Christ. Paul served Christ. He worshipped Christ. He thought of Christ. He proclaimed Christ. He conducted himself in Christ. He trusted his whole life to Christ in every way. Christ was his centre. Christ was his being. He goes on to say, and to die is gain. To die is gain. If Paul would die, if he would be executed because of his current circumstance, as he awaits trial before Caesar, Paul says to die is gain for him. It is gain for him. Paul knew in his heart and felt that if death comes to him, and be gained from them, and that he would enter into the very presence of God. The moment that Paul, if he would die, he would enter into the very presence of God. His soul would be taken up to God. He would be free from all the sufferings that he had gone through. And he would come into the very presence of Christ and rejoice in the presence of Christ. And to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Whereas this was a personal statement for the Apostle Paul. And for everyone here who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, it is our personal statement. This should be on every one of our hearts who knows him. That to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Literally, in the original language, the word is not there. It literally can read, to live, Christ, die, gain. It's profound. But it's truth. When we die, it will be gain for us. Because there we will see our Saviour. And there we will enter into paradise and be with him. the Apostle Paul goes on, and heading 2, verses 22 to 23, the Apostle Paul is hard pressed between two desires. He says, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labour." Well, he doesn't know what's going to happen in his circumstance. He doesn't yet know what the will of the Lord is for him. He doesn't know the providence of the Lord as of yet. But what he's doing as he is in chains, as he is pondering in his own heart and mind, thinking upon his current situation, whether death is so imminent for him, he's pondering these things in his mind. He's dwelling upon these things. And he's saying, "But if I live on in the flesh," that means that if he lives physically, this will mean fruit from my labour. Now, the Apostle Paul, if he was granted to live in the flesh, he would continue to serve Christ. There's a tendency, isn't there, with us, when we go through really difficult situations, really difficult circumstances, and we have the tendency to say, "I'm just going to retire, put up my feet." But not for the Apostle Paul, because to live is Christ. If he was to be spared, he would continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This will mean fruit for my labour. As Paul would follow the will of the Lord and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do all that the Lord had prepared for him in Christ Jesus, fruit would come forth as God would bless it. He would continue to serve Christ. He would continue to minister for Christ. He goes on to say, doesn't he? "Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell." Paul is not saying that he has the final authority to choose himself the outcome. But what he is pointing to is that maybe he's not convinced what will happen as of yet. He doesn't know, does he not? He's not sure what the will of the Lord is. Paul's life is in the Lord's hands. He cannot tell what would be best inside the will of the Lord for him. He said, "What I shall choose, I cannot tell." And he goes on to say, "For I am hard pressed," in verse 23. The word "hard pressed" means to be hemmed in from both sides, like a clamp or a vice. These two desires that the Apostle Paul has. One is, if I live on the flesh, I will continue to serve Christ. I would continue to serve the Philippians. I would continue to serve others whom I would go to. On the other hand, he recognises that to die is gain for him. And in a sense, it is better for him that he would go and be with the Lord. It is better for him, and it's better for me and you. But he's hard pressed between those two desires, because he cannot come to grips with what the will of the Lord is for him as of yet. He doesn't know. Think of it. Being captive, awaiting the future. He doesn't know. He said, I'm hard pressed. These two desires are pressing upon him. And he has that, it's like two wolves hedging him up. And I'm hard pressed. What could happen? He says, I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The two desires are perfectly good and proper, aren't they? But which will come has not been finalized. In his own mind, the better outcome were to leave this world and be with his Saviour. The word depart there can mean to unloose. You think of a boat in a harbour where it's tied up against a dock, and the rope is tied up, and if you want to set sail, you have to unloosen the rope, don't you? Yeah. So the boat could sail off into the destination. This word is being used, and it just describes that the Apostle Paul would be loose, that he could sail off essentially to heaven, to be with Christ, that he would be loosened. His desire is to part and to leave and go and be with Christ. Paul expects that when he dies, he will immediately enter Christ's presence. And that is the biblical truth for me and you today. That when we die, we will enter into the very presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen, brother. You remember the criminal who hanged next to Jesus? Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What beautiful words to hear from Jesus. This is our hope, to be with Christ for eternity, to be in his very presence, to see him, to depart from this world full of pain and suffering and sin, and to enter into complete peace where there be no tears. Well, the Apostle Paul goes on in his letter to the Philippians. He recognises for his own self it's far better for him to go to die, because he will be with Christ. He will be with his Saviour. But then he comes to a point in his time as he writes this letter. In Hebrews 3, verses 24 to 26, he seems to have a confidence to remain, does he not? He says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul's heart is also pulled towards the believers in Philippi. In his own heart, he's essentially not willing to dwell upon the better for him, but he seems to be, as he writes, out of his own heart, have a great concern for the believers at Philippi. Now this is a pastor's heart, is it not? To be concerned for believers. That he would nourish them in the faith. They would grow in the grace and knowledge of God. He said, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. He recognises that there's a need for him to continue in the flesh, in the Lord, by the power of the Spirit to the saints and to whom he encounters. He recognises that. And so he still is thinking about these two desires. But he goes on in verse 25, he says, "And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in faith, of faith." It's a level of confidence here, isn't it? And being confident of this. Paul's thinking, he recognises that because of the need to serve the Philippians and other places where he would go, that gave him the confidence, the conviction that he might be remaining to continue to serve. As Christ still has a purpose for him. So Paul makes Christ's purpose, his purpose, to continue to serve him because to live is Christ. That I shall remain and continue with you all for the progress of joy of faith. His concern was their progress, it says, doesn't it? And joy of faith, or in faith, was that he could help and grow the believers through his ministry. Through the difficult times, through the good times, through the pains of this life, through the times of spiritual warfare, to grow more in the grace and knowledge of Christ and his gospel. He had a heart's desire to be with the Philippians, to be with them, to help them in their walk in faith. It was in those times, those difficult times we have mentioned of, but our faith gets increased. And there comes joy in our heart, does there not? The times can be extremely difficult upon the soul, upon the mind, upon the body. But we learn so much through trials and tribulations, do we not? And our faith is increased. It's tested, but it's increased as well. Paul had this desire for them. But he has this confidence that he would remain. And he says, with all the progress of joy in faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Their rejoicing wouldn't be first for Paul and second for Christ, no. Their rejoicing will be more abundant in Jesus Christ because of what Jesus Christ has done for Paul. What Jesus Christ has used Paul as his very instrument. The order of the original language reads, your proud confidence in Jesus Christ in me. That as Paul would administer the words to the Philippians and help them in all that they would go through, that rejoicing would come. That they would ascribe God his glory that is due to his name. And so Paul, here we've seen, have we not, that there's a particular time in his life where he faces a difficult situation. Whether he would continue to live or whether he would die. But it is essentially not difficult for him. Because he's come to the conclusion in his heart that if he lives, he will continue to serve Christ. But if he would die, which would be far better for him, it would be gain for him. Maybe you here this morning. Of being in this position, or maybe you are in this position. Where you don't know the outcome as of yet. You don't know the future. You don't know what the will of the Lord is for you personally as of yet. As you sit on the chair face with a doctor, and there he reads your diagnosis, and all of a sudden your life is being put in of your perspective, your life has been shown that maybe whatever the results may be, that death could be very close for you. The results could mean that you may die. But they may not come forth that way. You may live. You don't know the outcome. But, my friend, whatever the outcome may be, if the Lord would have you to stay upon earth, then to live is Christ. You continue to live for Christ because you know Christ. You've been born again of Christ. You've been born again of God, the Holy Spirit. And you've believed upon Him in faith, and you have continued to serve Him because He is your Master. And He is your Lord. But if death is on the cards, brother and sister here this morning, it's game for you. It is game. Death would be the very steward for you to enter into glory. We will face death, right? The Lord knows our timing. But until that day, are you living for Christ? Are you following Him in faith? Are you in service to Jesus Christ? If the Lord would have you continue, what does that mean for you? Well, I've mentioned it, haven't I? That you continue to serve Him in the capacity that He has given you, and those good works that He has prepared for you in Jesus Christ. One day we will die physically. For the Christian awaits us where all pain will be gone. Can you say this statement in your heart today? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you say in the depths of your heart, with a full assurance like the Apostle Paul here, can you say to die is gain? If you can't, to die will be lost for you. And you will face a place called hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because of your sinful works. Scripture tells us, doesn't it? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there is a way of escape. And it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the God-man. He stepped down from glory and was born of a virgin. And he came with one primary objective. And that was that he would go to the cross and pay that great price. Oh, where the Lord Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission, that he would save his people from their sins. That he would go to the cross, and that he would be that great substitute. That he would bear the pain that we deserve. And in his divine love, God sent forth his Son, that we would go free. Pure and perfect is he, the one who fulfilled all the requirements of the law, something that me and you have not done, but only in Jesus Christ. He came to free us from that bondage of sin and death. And as he went to the cross, he paid that price. He became our substitute. He bore the wrath of God that we would go free. But he didn't just die, he rose again. He rose from the grave, defeating death, and ascended to the Father, where he intercedes for the saints. New life is found in Jesus Christ alone. Would you come to him and plead your case? He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Would you believe upon him? Would you turn from your sinful way? Repent and believe upon Jesus Christ in faith. That you trust him with your life. He has promised us that he will carry us to the end. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. What a great truth that is, brothers and sisters. I'll leave you with these words this morning and let you dwell upon them throughout the day. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whatever the outcome, whatever may happen, whatever the diagnosis, whatever it may be, Christ would be magnified. Amen. Amen.